Dear friends in Jesus Christ, great to have you with us on this Christmas Eve 2025. We're going into a section here I put together, and I'm calling it, What Child Is This? When we think about Jesus being born, there were many special things that happened, but at the same time, he looked like any other normal child. The other thing I want you to think about tonight, we kind of have to step back from Christmas, and I want you to think about the big picture here, because we're talking about the very Son of God. We are talking about the one through whom God created the world. We are talking about the one at the end of our lives. Either we know him and he's going to welcome us into paradise, or at some point during our lifetime and to the end, we have rejected him. And if we reject him, he is going to reject us. So it's a really big deal when we come to the topic of Jesus. And I hope what I'm going to share with you tonight, that you believe that it is true. So with what I'm going to share with you, I'm really firm that this is true. I hope you are too, and I hope what I read is understandable. I hope you make application in your lives, and I hope to see all of you in paradise someday. Let's get into the first part of it here. The first section I'm calling, trying to answer the question here, what child is this? The first answer is, he is the promised one. So coming to our first reading, he would bruise the head of the serpent. So we're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Doesn't that sound confusing? What we have here is God the Father is talking to Satan. He's the one who tempted Adam and Eve to sin, and they did sin, and it did bring down the entire world. And let's understand, God made this promise on the very day that they fell into sin. So here are Adam and Eve disobeying God, and yet on the same day, God is promising them, in time, I will send my son, and he will destroy the works of the devil. Coming to the second reading here, the promised one, he would be a descendant of Abraham. So now we're jumping ahead in the Bible almost 2,000 years. We're in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and this is what the Lord said to Abraham, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In other words, the Christ of Christmas did his saving work for everyone. Let's understand that, but it is critical for everyone by grace, through faith in Jesus for eternal life to receive the benefits of what he did. Imagine if somebody bought you a great Christmas present and they put it under the tree, and yet you never received it, you never opened it, you never used it, it would be like you never had the present at all. God wants us to know Jesus is that greatest present. So he wants us to receive him, and when we receive him, then we are receiving the benefits of what he did for us. And then going on here, we come to the book of Isaiah. So he would be for us, and that means for you, for me, for all. We're here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is a familiar passage around this time of the year. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. When we think about those four names for Jesus, those are compound names. And if we get into it in a little bit more technical way and look at it the way it's laid out in the Hebrew, we find out that each name has an earthly characteristic and also a divine characteristic. And this is how they're laid out when we take a look at the Hebrew. So we have the divine name is wonderful, the earthly name is counselor, and then divine God and earthly would be hero. So this is not what we're used to normally hearing, but this would be the literal way to look at it in the Hebrew. And then to make it symmetrical, now we switch the order here, and we come to the earthly first and the divine second, so we have Father forever and then Prince of Peace. I'm not going to get into all the details of what those names mean, but let's understand, though, that Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, he is all that those names include and so much more. I pray that for all of us, God would enable us to get it, to know that Jesus is so super important, and upon understanding that, that he would be super important in our lives, not only at Christmas, but every single day of the year. At this time, we go on to our choir. Going further to answer the question, what child is this? He is the promised one, as I have said, and he would be born in Bethlehem. The Bible tells us here, we have the prophecy, the famous prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. As for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So let's understand that the Christ is the greatest. No one is even close to his greatness. He is the greatest, yet he came and lived a life that was humble, that was sinless, and then when the time was right, he ended up dying a horrible, sacrificial death. Why did he do that? He did that to make the way to heaven for you and for me and for all. Let me make the comment here. It's one thing that we know about Jesus. So we might be like, oh yeah, he's the one talked about in the Bible. He's that guy who died on a cross, and he's the one they say rose from the dead. You know, to know about him, that can be good to know about him, but knowing about him doesn't change us for eternity. In other words, we have to know him. We have to be in relationship with him in order to be able to benefit from him. So back to the key question, what child is this? We say that he is the saving one. So here we take a look at the fact that he would save his people from their sins. We're in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, that is to Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Since we all have sins. It's true for everyone. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because we all have sins, that should indicate to us that we are all in need of Jesus. It's so clear and simple in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." So what does that mean? He who has the Son, to have him is to be in relationship with him. What kind of life is being spoken of? That's talking about eternal life. We're all physically living right now, but it's talking about eternal life. So when we have relationship with the Son, then we have the gift of eternal life. Anyone who does not have that relationship with the Son, then there is no eternal life. The eternal life is there for them. It's under the Christmas tree, but they're not yet in possession of it. It's important that we receive Christ soon before it is too late. So he is the saving one. He was sent to redeem us. Here we are in Galatians chapter 4. It says, when the fullness of the time came. So God said it would happen. And after God said it would happen, then the time was filling and filling and filling. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So adoption into God's family, it's something he wants to do with everyone. He wants to adopt them into his family. But let's understand how God does that. God is at work by the Holy Spirit through his word in order to show us our need for Jesus, our need to be adopted into God's family. And then, as God is at work by the Holy Spirit, God enables us to receive Jesus, who is the greatest gift of all. So as part of Jesus being the saving one, he was tempted, but he did not sin. In other words, somebody has to be our perfect substitute. We have all sinned. We can't fix it. So we need someone to come and to fix it for us, and Jesus is that one. So he came into the world perfect. He was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 4, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So he lived, he functioned perfectly. He is our sinless substitute. And then, after that, what did he do? He greatly humbled himself, but God exalted him. When people exalt themselves, God says, I will humble you. You want to exalt yourself? You can do it, but God is saying, I promise, I will humble you. But a much better way, though, is when we humble ourselves, and then at the right time, God will exalt us. That's the pattern of the Christ. So notice here how he humbled himself, and notice how greatly God exalted him. We're in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus did humble himself in order to save us, and when he returns, he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when he comes, all people will be given life back into their bodies, and all people will stand on the earth. When he comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The ones who know him as Savior and Lord, they will gladly bow and confess. They will be so excited that he has come, that evil is over with forever, and they're about ready to enter into eternal bliss. But for everyone who has rejected him, they will also bow and they will also confess, but it will not be unto salvation. They will be sent away forever, because in their time of opportunity, which is now, they chose to go the way of the world rather than to embrace the Christ. So what child is this? We have one final section. I'm saying here that he is the transforming one. So he came to set us free. We see that here in Hebrews chapter 2. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, talking about Christ, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. So apart from Jesus, boy, it's a hard thing to say this on Christmas Eve, but apart from Jesus, the Bible, which is God's word, is telling us that apart from Jesus, the only things that are coming are death and hell. But it's also saying that for everyone, nobody is left out. Jesus did his work for everyone through Jesus. Death has been canceled. Life has been put in its place. Hell has been canceled. Heaven has been put in its place. So we go from the worst news ever to the best news ever, and it's all bound up in Jesus. And then we see that he came to reconcile us to God. So we are the ones who sinned. We are the ones who separated ourselves from God. There was nothing we could do to open the way to God, so God had to do something in order to open the way from him to us, and then back from us to him, and that's all about Jesus. Notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If anyone is in Christ, that means to know him, to be in him. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So God wants us to understand that it's our sin that brought our separation. And again, we were lost, we were helpless, we couldn't fix it. So God sent his Son in order to provide restoration. It's so wonderful what he did. So thinking about what child is this, he came to make us the children of God. Where in John chapter 1, as many as received him, talking about the Christ, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As we think about it, we understand that each of us were born of our mothers. So we did nothing to help our mothers. Maybe we even hindered the situation, but we were born of our mothers. That's how we are here today physically. But in order to be with God forever, we have to be born again. We have to be born spiritually, and that is when we are born of God. So as we did not help our mothers, we don't help God out either. The Bible says, by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus. So God wants us to rejoice if we know him. And if we don't know him, what is God saying? What is the answer for people who aren't quite sure or don't know him? The answer is simply to get into the Bible with an open mind. Because as we get into the Bible is the very word of God. And as we are reading the Bible and thinking about it, the Holy Spirit will be at work in order to show us what it means, in order to help us make application in our lives. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit will show us what we need. And over time, the Holy Spirit will then gift us with Jesus, the very thing that we need to have the forgiveness of our sins and to have the ticket to someday get into heaven. Thinking about Jesus, he came in order to shine through us. So we're like kind of like the moon. Jesus is like the sun. When you look up into the night sky and you see the moon shining, the moon has no light of itself. It's simply reflecting the light of the sun. That's what God is calling us to do as ones who know Jesus. Think about what he said here in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world, he said to his disciples. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So that means with what we say, with what we do, we are reflecting Jesus. It can't be hidden. Sometimes people try to hide it, and that becomes a dangerous thing, because what did Jesus say there in Matthew 10? He said, if you don't confess me before others when I come, I won't confess that I know you. So he says, don't be ashamed of me, rather reflect my light to others. That will be a blessing to those others, and that will also be honoring to our great God when we live in that way as Christians.